Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
O'clock on the Fan, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti on a football Friday, a celebratory football Friday, and at least there's one football team in New York that is making their fans proud. This could have gotten ugly for the Jets last night, losing three in a row, everybody out of the water, sniffing around, the chums in the water. What are you going to do with McCown? You got to play the young guys. This team is exactly who we thought that they were. And then guess what they do? The Buffalo Bills come in a hot team, and the Jets blow them out on national TV. They moved all the primetime shows out of there. They put the Jets and the Bills on there, and the Jets showcase themselves in a 34-21 blowout that wasn't even that close. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Well, I'm a little tired. You know, I'm coming back from MetLife. I think I just got back about 5 minutes ago between the construction and all the traffic and everything. But actually, I will tell you that you, I think you characterized this game absolutely perfectly in a sense that it wasn't that close. It was really a total domination of the New York Jets until the last 4 minutes, and there were a couple of mistakes that were made. And they probably are not happy with the game the way it finished, but at the end of the day, you cannot be unhappy about the defensive line performance, the offensive line performance, and I guess Matt Forte was hurt. You know, let's run the ball some more. And I think what Johnny Morton recognized is that the Buffalo Bills traded away one of their dominant defensive players, Marcell Dareus, earlier in the week to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So why wouldn't you want to run against the Buffalo Bills? And that's exactly what the Jets did, and they stuck with it. And it was a really well-balanced game. And Josh McCown did some really nice things. Didn't have to do too much heavy lifting. And then when you take a look at and you dive a little bit deeper into why the Buffalo Bills are 5-2, first of all, they're 4-0 at home. And they have a plus 14 turnover differential coming into the game. Last night, the Jets don't turn it over. They turn it over three times. The Jets defense sacked Tyrod Taylor seven times. And basically, it was a beatdown. It was a physical manhandling of the Buffalo Bills. So for Todd Bowles, I would probably say, you know, since he's been here, that has to be one of the best, if not the best, performance that the Jets put forth. It was that dominating, and Forte looked great, and Bilal Powell looked great. Even Muhammad Wilkerson and Leonard Williams were all over the place. DeMario Davis making tackles all over the place. The defense, the secondary was good. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. It was just about as good as it gets for a football team, especially at home in front of their fans, who, by the way, thought that this team was going to end up tanking this year. And that's like the last place that they are now.
Well, those people need to officially stop thinking like that and shut up with that at this point. Even at 3-2, they were hanging on because you still had an opportunity that the season would fall completely apart. And there were guys that were just saying, all right, you could still go 3-13. You could still go 4-12. There's not enough talent on the team. And it's a hot start, but it's not going to go anywhere. At this point, you have to shift your focus and think playoffs. Because if you look around the AFC, think about it. And especially with the Deshaun Watson news yesterday, because that's one of those teams that people looked at and said, well, that's a wild card team right there if he continues to play the way he is. But who is really that much better than the Jets? And I'm talking about, forget about the bullcrap with the roster and it's McCown and they got rid of everybody and how could they be any good? I'm talking about what we've seen to this point in the season. Who's that much better than the Jets? The Jaguars? The Dolphins? The Bills clearly aren't from last night as they got pushed around.
I would tell you that the Jets, with the exception of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, who, you know, obviously because of Tom Brady and their offense and Bill Belichick and
Chiefs,
you know, maybe the Chiefs. I would say the Jets are right there with everybody else right now. And it's like a middling NFL. It's a league of poor football team. Well, I don't say poor. I mean, just average football.
Yeah, mediocre. Yeah, it's parity.
You have 32 teams, right? You probably have about six teams that have no chance. right? You probably have about 20 teams that all still have a chance, and then you have about six teams that are definitely going to make it. So given the fact that Deshaun Watson got hurt yesterday, which is just devastating news all across the landscape of the NFL, I mean, wherever you were and you heard it yesterday, I think your heart broke because that kid has been so electrifying and so great, and he's worth just turning the TV on, watching what he's going to do next. You know, the interesting thing about Deshaun Watson, as we just kind of delve away from the Jets for 1 second, so, you know, a couple of personnel guys in the NFL will always tell you, okay, what kind of player are we looking for that plays quarterback? What kind of body type are we looking for? We're looking at, we want thick-hipped guys. I know it sounds ridiculous, but this is how they talk.
Yeah.
We want thick-hipped guys because they have a strong base, because they can take hits, they can absorb hits. Plus, they're less likely to hurt their knees. Their knees are built a different way. They're not track stars, things of that nature.
So like Carson Wentz would be one of those guys,
you'd say? He's one of those guys. Right. Now, Andrew Luck is one of those guys. Now, Andrew Luck hurt his shoulder, didn't hurt his knee. But I would say that Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys. Okay. I would say that Jameis Winston and
Mariota?
Mariota are one of those guys. Well, not so much Mariota, Cam Newton.
Okay.
So well, think about the body types, the how thick they are, how big they are, and from the waist down, how wide their hips are. And it's all about a base. That's what they talk about. It's all about the base. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's all,
yeah, no trouble.
So when Deshaun Watson was coming out last year, a number of personnel guys said, look, this kid is going to be a terrific football player, but he's built like a track star. He's not built like the lower, you know, base player that you want. And sure enough, this is like a track injury. This is like a wide receiver injury.
Yeah.
Just a non-contact, like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, same thing, non-contact. But he's built the same way. Think about it.
That's exactly right.
And Sam Bradford is also there with those skinny legs. Same thing.
And he gets hurt, too.
He can't keep his knees healthy.
By the way, it's not funny that you bring him up, but I'm glad you brought it up because one of the guys that I know that talks like this basically was talking about Sam Bradford and his injury propensity and the reason for it.
Yeah.
And when you look at him, you say, "Oh, okay, he's got a very skinny lower body, and that lower body is not what you're looking for in terms of a quarterback physical makeup." And so it's disappointing. It's probably not shocking to some of the people that were scouting and looking at him, and that's why they have the combine.
Yeah,
that's why they have you standing there in your underwear with your shirt off because they want to see your body type and see what you look like. It's like poking and prodding, and It's true though, but that's the way they look at it. But it's heartbreaking because that kid was so exciting and so off the charts. And when you take a look at the amount of points that they've scored with him as their starting quarterback, I mean, nobody's ever done anything like that.
Yeah, bad news for the NFL, good news for the other teams in the AFC, including the Jets, because that team's going to be terrible now. There's no doubt about it. You want to talk about awful quarterback play? You're going to have Tom Savage starting this week. You're going to have Brock Osweiler starting this week. You're going to have Drew Stanton starting this week. C.J. Beathard starting this week. And these teams, when you compare that to what Josh McCown has done, now last night really wasn't about McCown because he didn't do a whole heck of a lot. I don't even know he had 200 yards receiving last night. But the throw to Robbie Anderson, the fact that he's there, he's calm, the touchdown run that he had. I mean, just in full control. Now, he's a guy who's had a history of not staying healthy either, and that scares you because where this team is going.
Right.
But
the only thing I would say about the Jets is are they where they were 2 years ago? You know, they got good quarterback play from Ryan Fitzpatrick. They were beating up teams. They got the 10 wins, right? And
yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick had one of his best years ever. Then they went all in on Ryan Fitzpatrick and tried to bring in guys to support the older player and all that other stuff. I just hope that the Jets don't make that mistake because Josh McCown is not the future of this franchise.
No.
Josh McCown right now is keeping this franchise afloat. Josh McCown is stabilizing this franchise. I would say that maybe you get another year, maybe even 2 years out of him, but maybe not as the starter. I mean, you still have to find the next young guy. I would say the same thing for the Giants. You know, you still have to find that young guy that's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Carson Wentz, with Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins. And it's the same thing for the Jets. You know, you got to find, and I think the Jets and the Bills are kind of like on a parallel path. They're both reasonably good teams. They're probably out kicking their coverage a little bit right now. But they're getting a break here, getting a break there, and they're making the most of it. But both of these teams have got to find the long-term answer at quarterback.
Yeah, they're really not going to make that mistake, the Jets. I don't think. Well, McCown's 38. They already went through with Fitzpatrick.
And the beautiful thing about Josh last night is that two runs on third down, one led to a first down, the other one led to a touchdown. He read the defenses perfectly. He saw that the backs of the defensive backs and linebackers were to him. So what does that tell him? That tells him they're running man coverage. And the Bills are probably thinking, you know, Josh McCown's not going to run. He's not going to be Tyrod Taylor. He's not going to be Colin Kaepernick. He's not going to be Cam Newton.
Yeah.
So guess what? We don't have to worry about that.
Yep.
And as a 38-year-old guy who's playing with great poise and managing the pocket great, takes off and runs and scores a touchdown and a first down. So he didn't have big numbers, but what he's doing exactly what Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles have asked him to do. And he's running a really good offense, and he's having moments. You know, he's made Robbie Anderson.
Oh, God. Well,
what do you think about it?
Yeah, of course, without a doubt. He's getting the ball down the field. He's getting open, too.
Because that connection, you know, you never know how that's going to work. Sometimes guys fit. They don't have a feel of one another. But they have really developed a nice connection, especially on the long balls. And Robbie makes a nice catch last night in the end zone for a touchdown. So there's a lot of, you know, it's amazing. Even though they're 4-5 and they're not going to go to the Super Bowl, there's a lot of really good things to like about what the Jets are doing, especially, I mean, you know, between Jamal Adams flying all over the place last night, DeMario Davis flying all over the place, Wilkerson turning it as, I think it's probably his third straight really good game on the defensive line. There's a lot of young players to like for the New York Jets right now.
Yeah, and that whole narrative about when they got rid of guys and the locker room was better, I didn't really buy into that at the time because there was so much talent going out of the door, but now I believe it. And this was the most fired up Todd Bowles I've ever seen the guy. If you saw him last night on the sideline, you know, he's going incomplete, he's pumping his fist, he's slapping guys on the ass as they come off the field. And there was something about last night where he was really more fired up than I've seen him ever. And I think it had a lot to do with the Bills. I think it had a lot to do with the fact that they lost three in a row and they blew three fourth quarter leads and the media's descending upon him talking about the young quarterbacks. He wanted that win desperately. And this is the difference between the Giants and the Jets right now. The coach wanted that win desperately. And what do? They got it for him. And they're playing their butts off for him. Whereas you got the Giants, they don't even show up after a bye week.
Al, I can say the same thing about Greg Giannotti this morning. I mean, he's no longer Todd Bowles. He's like a different guy today. I mean, you came out. I know you like the Jets, but I can't believe how much you like the Jets.
I thought you were going to come in here and tell me
about how great the Ranger game was last
night. No, well, you're sitting in the break telling me the Rangers are going to get killed tonight. They're going to get crushed.
Well, of course, they're playing the best team in hockey. And you know what? They showed up last night.
They're going to get run over and all depressed about it. Well, I'll tell you why. Because last night, the Jets lose last night. Football in New York is over. That's it. In 2017, there's nothing more to talk about except we're going to see Davis Webb, we're going to see Christian Hackenberg. Who's going to get fired? Who's going to stay? You don't want to talk about that in the middle of the season.
I know. I can't believe that we're already talking light, or at least about the Giants we're talking like.
Yes, but then you'd have two teams if the Jets would have lost last night, four losses in a row sitting at 3-6. And not only did they win, it's not like they won on a last-second field goal. They blew a team out. That was really impressing a lot of people in the NFL.
Well, impressing a lot of people because of the turnovers. And, you know, I would imagine that there almost could have been a mutiny in the Buffalo Bill locker room after the game yesterday, because with the Jets running for over 190 yards, you could probably say the reason they did that was because they traded Marcell Dareus. So you got to believe that the defensive line guys that share that room with Marcell are like, why the hell did we trade him?
Yeah.
Why the hell did we get rid of that guy when we're trying to win now? But then you say to yourself, well, maybe it's not so bad because they did go out and trade for Kelvin Benjamin, even though he didn't play last night.
Yeah.
You could see that the Bills need something else on offense other than Shady McCoy. You know, we interviewed DeMario Davis after the game last night on Westwood One, and he basically said, look, this was essentially a revenge game for us, and they were thinking about back to game one, and they were thinking about, look, you got to stop LeSean McCoy. If you could stop him, then there's the way that you beat the Bills, especially when you get them to turn the ball over the way they did. And that's exactly what they did. The game plan was unbelievable for the Jets' defense last night. It all came together at once. And I'll tell you what, it was a really, really a totally impressive performance by the Jets.
And you go into this week, you got a mini bye and then a bye because you play on Thursday night, you have a lot of time off, and then you go to Tampa. Now, Tampa has been a team that's been up and down, but mostly down, and Jameis Winston has been flat out awful. Now, I know he's been hurt, but even when he's been healthy, the guys have been all that good. So you go into that game thinking that's a real chance to win, into the bye. And then you get to 5-5 into the bye, and then you can go into the irrational win-loss, win-loss stuff. But you got two home games, one very winnable in the Panthers, who don't know who the hell they are. And then you have the Chiefs at home, and that's going to be a very, very difficult one. And then you travel to Denver, and I'm sorry, I'm not scared of Denver any longer. At the Saints is going to be a difficult one. Home to the Chargers, certainly a winnable game. And then at the Patriots is tough. But I mean, my point is that the Jets, even in these tough matchups, they're playing these teams hard. I mean, you had the Patriots come in. You probably should have won that game. You had that terrible call with Seferian Jenkins. You had the Falcons come in. You probably should have won that game, too, but you ended up blowing it. And a game like last night shows you that they could be even getting better and taking that next step into the second half of the season. So you could look at these tough matchups fine. But what you saw from the Jets last night is more fact to me than just projecting ahead and saying, well, there's no way they're going to be able to win that game.
I'll tell you, from a guy that was in the stadium last night and watching it and watching how the fans reacted to it, it was great to see Fireman Ed there. He was doing his thing, and the Jet fans were right along with him, man. They were right in sync with him and everything. It was actually good to see that. And I don't know what to tell you other than what you're getting is you're getting a team that seems to be playing for their coach, and obviously they're missing in some areas. That's one of the reasons why they can't close games out or haven't closed games out this year. But I think last night they made a statement, and there's no reason to think that when they play these other teams around the league, assuming they stay healthy, that situations change. You know, week to week in the NFL, and now look at the Houston Texans. I mean, they think the last thing they have to worry about is a quarterback situation and how many points to score. They had all these other injuries on defense. They traded away their left tackle, Dwayne Brown. And now their season is basically, from a mental standpoint, right now as they wake up, is ruined.
Oh, it's over, because last year at least they had a decent defense to be able to go with that horrible offense, and they were able to get to the postseason. I mean, they still may, but their defense is awful this year. They've lost too many guys. Their secondary stinks. There's no way they're going to be able to put enough together defensively to make up for the shortcomings at quarterback now with Tom Savage.
It's an amazing what's happening in the NFL, the amount of injuries, the amount of guys of significance that are getting hurt and missing, you know, the entire season. The other thing, too, is like Indianapolis. Is Chuck Pagano a terrible coach? No, he's not. He's a very good coach. As a matter of fact, I would tell you he's probably doing some of the best coaching he has since he's been there. Right. Why? Because he's dealing with a quarterback who just got there right before the season started. Their franchise that's making $125 million is not there and is not going to be active this year. So you can imagine the morale in that locker room.
Yeah, and that Ryan Grigson put together one of the worst defenses in sports history.
You know, their team is still playing for their coach, though. You know what I mean?
They finally fired Grigson, but right. They love him. They love Chuck Pagano. That's all they got.
But the whole thing's going to get cleaned out there. The coaching staff and everything, most likely, and it's due in large part because their best player, the guy who makes all the negativity go away, hasn't played.
Yeah. I know. And it seems like Irsay is really, really upset with the way that was handled, because he feels like he was lied to over there. And that's like the worst thing. You've got organizational like discontent like that. It's going to be a nasty, nasty situation. But it's a good situation for the Jets this morning. And if you are one of those tankers, you know, you had the flat earth truther yesterday. If you got one of those tank truthers out there, give it up today. It is now officially over. You cannot be talking about draft picks. You have to be thinking about the postseason, because the NFL, there's not enough good teams in either conference to count anybody out, especially with the performance we saw last night.
You know, the amazing thing is that one of our engineers, Hector's a flat earther guy.
Oh, my goodness.
I straightened him out yesterday.
No, he isn't. Is he really?
Yeah.
That's just totally blows
me
away.
And I straightened him out. Well, straightened him out. I took him through a tutorial of Earth from space and everything else, and I think I got him on our side.
I don't know. He also thinks I'm a Nephilim, by the way.
What?
Because I have O negative blood.
A Nephilim? What the hell's a Nephilim?
It's like a hybrid half angel, half human that's evil.
Well, I kind of buy that.
I'll tell you, now that you're not snoring, you're no longer evil. That's one right. thing. All right, 618 on the Fan, company from the Investors Bank studio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.